Hi, everybody. This is Ashley, one of the hosts of the Before Church podcast. You might have noticed we have not released any episodes the last couple of weeks, even though we told you that we were going to have episodes for you all through our Advent devotional. First off, we apologize for that. We had a couple issues on our end. First off, we rely really heavily on our production team. And not only did they have the busyness of Christmas, then we had a week of the office being closed and everybody was off. But we also had a bunch of illness that happened on our staff during that two-week time period as well. So between all of those factors, even though we had recorded episodes on the Advent devotionals, they didn't actually end up being sent out because of sickness and overwork and a lot of other things. So thank you for being patient with us. We thought about not releasing them, but then realized, well, people might still want to hear what we had to say. And maybe you want to go back and kind of review the Advent devotional before you kind of completely put that away in the closet somewhere and forget about it. So we're going to go ahead and drop all of the episodes that were supposed to be dropped over those 2 or 3 weeks after Christmas so that you can enjoy them. You haven't been able to hear us for a couple of weeks, so now you have an opportunity to binge us if you want to. Or you can just go ahead and skip, whichever you want to do. We will be back with a new episode next Tuesday, January 18th, and we will have a special announcement of that episode, so you will not want to miss that one. We hope you guys enjoy these episodes if you choose to listen to them. And again, thank you for your grace and your patience as we just navigate what this current season has for us. We'll see you guys next week.
Hey, everybody, this is Brad Williams, and I am the pastor of Before Church. Welcome to our podcast. My prayer is that this would help you behold God, that you would see Him for who He is, that you would belong to community, that you would be everything that you were created to be, and that you would be able to dream beyond the limitations in your life. So I hope you enjoy this teaching, and we look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Hey, everyone, welcome to the Before Podcast. My name is Alex.
And I'm Ashley.
And today is week 6 of Advent.
The final week of the Advent devotional.
Right. But Christmas was gone like 2 weeks ago.
It was.
So what are we doing?
Well, we talked about last time. We're in the middle of Christmas tide still. So those are the 12 days of Christmas. If you'd like to go get your 12 drummers drumming. Tide. No, it's just a fun word. Yes. So the 12 days from Christmas Day until January 6th is considered the season of Christmas.
Okay.
And then the Christmas season officially ends on January 6th, which is Epiphany. So for the Advent devotional this year, we actually took it through Advent, through Christmas, and we're ending, actually, I think the day after Epiphany because the 6th was a Thursday. So, yeah. Friday. We just decided we'd finish up the
week. We'll just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Well, it's also a good way to get your year started.
Yes.
And, you know, in the new year, as this devotional is wrapping up, we're introducing and inviting our church family into 21 days of prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm. So you can move right from Advent into prayer and fasting.
That's right. Now, what we're asking you to fast from is just something.
Yeah, choose whatever you like.
Choose your own adventure. You know, maybe it's food a day or food for a week or food for 21 days. Or maybe it's social media.
Caffeine.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't think Jesus would ever
really ingest caffeine, that's a very easy thing for me to throw out there.
You will.
Hey, no. People have told me that for years and I made it through college with no caffeine. Well, I mean, I drink soda, but I don't do coffee.
Yeah. Well,
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, get back to me on that. I will say Fallon did not start drinking coffee until like 2 or 3 kids in. So
interesting.
Yeah, and she still doesn't drink it the same way I do. So, you know.
She's not coffee snob?
No, like she doesn't have an IV hooked to her arm of coffee constantly all day long. Anyways, back to this.
Yeah, it's our last week of Advent.
It is, yeah. So we both are going to look at a couple things that stood out to us and encouraged us. Particularly in this season and going into the new year. So
I picked the one that was the very last day.
Yeah, so I think you should go first. All right. Yeah. I've been going first the last couple weeks anyways.
I think I went first the first 3. So we've just traded off. It's cool.
Yeah, so the way the devotional was written, which at this point in time, we're running into kind of the early years after Jesus was born.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned it was like a side kind of joke that the Magi visited Jesus after he was born, not, you know, during the nativity scene, right?
Estimated he was somewhere between 1 and 2 by this time.
Somewhere in that. But, you know, there was another event, and that's actually, it's in Wednesday of week 6, January 5th, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, that for me was really impactful. And I think also just in the wake of yesterday, I was helping and spending time with a guy in our church who's helping prepare for 8 Afghani refugees that are going to be living in a house on our mm-hmm. church property. And we were just talking about the challenges and the things he's working with and all of that. And passages like this remind me that Jesus himself was a refugee. Mm-hmm. And he was fleeing a dictatorship that was trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus himself was obviously very little, so he probably, you know, wasn't entirely
cognizant of
all of this. But Mary and Joseph, after having this absolutely incredible experience of, you know, bringing the Son of God into the world, now catches wind that he's right off the bat wants to execute him. King Herod, yes. The puppet king of Rome for the area, is wildly jealous of this new king's arrival and decides that every male child 2 years or younger in Bethlehem must be murdered. Mm-hmm. And so to escape that fate, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to Egypt mm-hmm. and they run for their lives. I've always thought about the songs we sing around Christmas time, like Silent Night. Mm-hmm. And
the inaccuracy of some of them.
Well, first off, like I don't think
birth is silent. Yeah, I haven't lived through it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's not how that works.
I've been there for 4 live births and nothing about it was quiet. But also just this idea of this serene, peaceful, and quiet experience surrounding the arrival of Jesus. Maybe there were moments of that, but I think what we really see, it's almost like a declaration of war. And right off the bat, mm-hmm. there's a dark power that jumps on every opportunity they can to try to destroy the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And there's something about this that has just always given me so much hope. I know it's such a depressing story, especially as a father, and you're expecting as well. You emotionally are connected to a child. The thought of a government order to murder every mm-hmm. single child out of the jealousy and the rage of this puppet king is just insane. But in the midst of that darkness, God enters into the story. And I think that's the thing that is so encouraging to me, because I don't know about you, but I still look around the world, you know, post-COVID life and reality and
even pre-COVID life.
All of it. And I can be overwhelmed by the darkness that surrounds mm-hmm. us. And I can feel just that heaviness and that weight. And it's in those places where you feel like there isn't hope that the hope of the world comes in. I think I mentioned that, you know, last week, this is good news of great joy for all people. This is the context of which good news of great joy for all people arrives. It's mm-hmm. not in, you know, this really pristine and clean environment. It's in a, you know, slobby manger in a back neck wood part of Galilee.
And it's also not a straight upward trajectory.
No.
Of like, ooh, we started in a barn and now like, woohoo, these kings have come. And so like, now what's the next big thing? It's all of a sudden we go from kings come and we're fleeing for our lives.
Yeah, and if you think about like the gifts the kings brought would sustain them financially for a long time. But that sustenance was going to be needed in order for them to get to Egypt mm-hmm. and to flee. Basically, they're refugees. They're fleeing from this totalitarian dictator. And, you know, instead of that being used for Jesus's education or for Joseph's 401k or...
That was not how they wanted to spend their Christmas bonus.
No, every single dime would go into their survival. And, you know, and so I just find that it's such a fascinating story. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there's been a lot of frustration about the Afghanistan crisis over the last few months, and rightfully so in some regards. But aside from who should have done what and what should have happened and who was in the right and who was in the wrong, just recognizing that that amongst the current refugees that are coming into our country, that would have been the kind of groups of people that Jesus himself would have been a part of. And I just think having a compassionate heart to receive people who are fleeing a very dangerous situation, that is something that I want to be true about me, about my family, and about this church. And so anyways, this is a passage that has inspired me and encouraged me in hard times, that there's light in dark places. And in very practical and real life current events, it's helped give me a lens as to how to interpret what's happening and how to we should behave and act in light of it all. So,
and I think it's funny too that, yes, like nothing in that story is something that you would be like, God would have wanted, you know, babies to die or his son to have to flee in the middle of the night. But at the same time, like God uses that to fulfill a prophecy, out of Egypt I called my son. And if there's no, again, not that God caused those things, but God is able to use those to display his foresight and knowledge and power.
And let's be real. I think he knows that as soon as he tries, he will step into the mess.
Yeah.
There's going to be opposition.
Yes. Something's going to happen.
It's not like he's surprised by, you know, this kind of the stuff happening. And so the foreknowledge of it is going to happen when I move to actually end this kind of evil and wickedness in the world. And then it happening is like, this is what the prophet foretold. When God makes this move, this is what's going to happen. But the way this text ends is the fulfillment of that prophecy is not that Jesus stays in Egypt, is that he's called out of Egypt. And that's the whole thing for me. That's what's so encouraging. And for you?
For me, I just like how this thing ended up coming together in the end of like, oh, well, obviously we started at creation, so we should end in Revelation. And thinking about these, the chapters, Revelation 21 and the beginning of 22, where it's talking about the new heaven and the new earth, and being able to kind of compare and contrast, like what things were similar in Eden versus what will be, you know, what will be the same in the new heaven, the new earth, and what will be different. I think it's interesting that we start in a garden and we end in a city.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to make of that 100%. But it's an interesting thing to think about. But there's things that are consistent.
Yeah.
There are, the tree of life is there. The fact that God is walking with his people in the cool of the day, that is also still true.
Yeah.
And I think the most comforting part of the Revelation 21 is where it talks about like there'll be no more crying or pain or death, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And just thinking about like that's honestly what Advent is all about. It's not just about Jesus coming as a baby in a manger and us inaccurately singing Silent Night. It's about the fact that God is going to set all things right. And we've seen this part of the story that we have in the Bible, but he's also actually given us like the last page in the book of Revelation of like the history of the world too, of like, this is how it ends. Yeah. We don't know all the things that happen between Jesus's time on earth or the church in Acts and all that to that point.
Yeah.
But we at least have the ending that we can hold on to and say,
yeah,
we know this is coming. And that gives us the courage and the strength and the faith and the trust to be able to walk through whatever we go through.
Do you think end is the right term or new beginning is a better one? Or both?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Because I think just like every era of Israel's history had like a beginning and an end, but the beginning and beginnings and ends were always like kind of overlapped.
Yeah.
Like I think when we're talking about things like that, it was really hard to be able to say, and it was the end of this and the beginning of this, because for us especially, it's so intricately connected. It's the end of the world as we know it. I'm just fine. But it's also the beginning of something that we can't comprehend yet, but we can glimpse enough to know like that's where we want to go. And
absolutely,
it's a good thing that we're waiting for.
Yeah. And and we talked earlier about ordinary time and Advent. And basically like what you're saying is this is the end of ordinary time, but it's the beginning of the second Advent and all that's to follow.
Yeah.
And so I love that. I've loved this passage in particular. I like the connection of the garden to the city that looks like a garden.
Yeah.
You know, I remember reading you know, you read Genesis 2 and you're like, the gold in this land is good and the aromatic resin and they're like all these raw materials mm-hmm. with two people. But now all of a sudden you have these raw materials.
Now there's streets.
Into streets. And buildings and gates
and all kinds of things.
Yeah. And people. Yep. Not just two people, mm-hmm. but multitudes of every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And to think that this is the direction God was originally intending us to go, mm-hmm. and how far we took it off track, and yet
He brings it back
He's
around.
Bringing it back together. Yeah. And so anyone whose life feels like that story where this is what I thought and it went in a way that I never would have expected, it's the same God who brings it back mm-hmm. together again. And I believe that. I believe yeah. that the same God who enters into the darkness to bring hope is the same God who's bringing this story to its new beginning.
Yeah.
Which is so encouraging today.
Yeah.
When we're looking at the world going, I think it's going to fall apart.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I think that was one of the reasons I think I chose the whole theme of longing, because I feel like, I mean, generally, all of us have something that we're longing for. But I think in the last 2 years with COVID and pandemic, it's become more evident
yeah.
that we're all longing for some sense of normality. We're longing for the end of political upheaval. We're longing for the, you know, can we stop politicizing everything or whatever?
Yeah.
And being able to see, you know, sometimes it always takes longer than we think it should. It never looks exactly like we think it should either.
Yeah.
But at the end, God is always good and faithful. And in fact, to your point, the difference between a garden and a city, God's ending is probably more than we could have imagined based on where
yeah.
we started.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think it's exciting. So,
it's very exciting.
What's also exciting is that we have some exciting news.
We do.
About what's ahead for the podcast coming next week. So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And also 21 days of prayer and fasting mm-hmm. As a church.
We would love to have you join for that.
That's right. And what else?
I think that's all.
I think that's it.
Is there anything else? Do you want to talk about the worship night on that Thursday?
That's right. So where 21 days of prayer and fasting culminates at the very end.
Yes.
Is a night of prayer and worship for mm-hmm. our church on the 25th, which is a Tuesday
yes.
of January.
Yes.
So we'll come together and we'll celebrate and we'll worship and we'll pray.
Yeah. And so as you're thinking about joining for the 21 days of prayer and fasting, make sure that you have that date saved on your calendar because we'd love to see you there.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.